Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you're listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. I'm very excited for today's conversation with Gina Vincent. We have a lot in common and trust me, I have not prepared anything for this interview. It's just going to be a free-flowing conversation. Gina Vincent is a life artist and creator of Exquisitely Aligned, a movement designed to shatter mundane thoughts and mediocrity. A movement that champions the voice of your soul to be expressed fully, your deepest desires to be embraced and experiencing the finest expression of your natural born gifts. In 2009, while her husband lay fighting for his life with kidney and liver disease, Gina was fighting the collective conformity of their local hospital, the doctors and their rules. Gina turned inward and took an unwavering stand. She stood 100% for Mark's unlived, amazing future life. That's when she discovered her three-step strategic solution to live exquisitely aligned. She uses her gifts to bring you the missing piece you have been looking for. That piece is deep within you. It's been trying to get your attention. Gina brings them to light and gives them a voice. Her goal is for you to be your true self, express your innermost desires, and have a ton of fun doing it. Because Gina believes when that happens, you become exactly what the world is missing. Hi, Gina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hina. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk about this topic that we are keeping as a surprise for our audience today.
Yay!
Okay, so you are a life artist, right? And this is something that I find very fascinating about yourself on your website too. So what is it like? What led you here? What's the journey been like? And what's your story behind being a life artist?
Well, I believe that we are very blessed and fortunate to be here and be alive. And I learned very quickly how precious life is and how very quickly it can change. I had it all. I had everything I had dreamt of as a little girl. I had the ideal, you know, love of my life husband. We had our biological son and we had just adopted our daughter from Guatemala. And honestly, when we brought her to the home, you know, back to North Carolina, where we were living at the time. I'm now in California, but in North Carolina, I remember thinking, it's all perfect. Like, this is what I had set out to achieve. And here I am. I have a house and I have two cats at the time and these two kids and a husband, and life is just ideal. And the backstory is, Hina, that I knew my husband had polycystic kidney.
Oh.
It was a disease that had taken his mom from this earth. And when she was, I think, in her almost mid-60s. So in the back of my mind, you know, Mark would never get sick until the kids were out of the house. And yeah, he would be in his mid-60s. I'm younger than him, but, you know, close in age, you know, like it would be okay. Well, I was very wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely shocking and, you know, kind of like a gut-wrenching, to say the least. So Sonia came home from Guatemala at 6.5 months old, cute as could be. And when she was January, Mark was told, hey, your kidney's really bad. We need to start like planning for dialysis and planning for a transplant. And I was like, what? You know, like, this can't be happening. I created the perfect world.
Yeah.
We're rocking the boat. And so I'll tell the story very quickly because it's a long story, but it was grueling. He ended up, when Sonia was 2 and Kai was in kindergarten, so, you know, a little guy, Mark needed a kidney transplant, and I was fortunate enough to be a good match for him.
Okay.
It turned out that I could donate my kidney, and he went into a first surgery to remove both kidneys, and they helped him by removing a huge cyst off his liver. Well, that really didn't help him. It actually sent him into liver failure. And it was a very long, daunting fight. And the long story made short was it was me standing up as this New York feisty Italian, is, you know, very intuitive, seeing things that they wanted proof through a blood work. And mm-hmm. I was like, we don't need proof. I'm telling you intuitively, I see, you know, and they didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They also didn't want to hear from a woman. They were all men. I call them the men in white coats, you know, and they, you know, in North Carolina, the woman should be a little more submissive and, you know, maybe fold my hands and be polite and just nod my head.
Okay.
Instead of saying, hey, I see this, I see that. And I found at that time, I was really challenged to speak up, challenged to be heard, challenged to be seen for what I call my gifts, you know, my intuitive gifts. I've lived with this man for now 10 years. We were 10 years into the marriage. Like I know him, you know, mm-hmm. like I don't need blood work to prove that he's in liver failure. His eyes are yellow. His skin is turning yellow. Like, you know, why can't you see these things? So it was very interesting. Looking back, it was interesting, Hina, but going through it, it was.
I understand. That must be very, very challenging for you.
Oh, and with two little kids, mommy, can I have, may I do this? And you're like, so I wasn't sleeping. I was gaining weight. I was trying my best to stay in prayer mode and meditation mode, but I felt very not grounded, you know?
Yeah.
And it was challenging. At the time, I was still teaching yoga a couple times a week, and I had great students who would lift me up in prayer and, you know, be there for me, but it was also challenging. So long story made short, I ended up asking Mark to change hospitals. He ended up moving to Florida from North Carolina. So six and a half hours away. And he remained there till he got a kidney and liver transplant from a woman my age and my blood type, who also was an organ donor. Divine intervention. What is the likelihood?
Right.
Unfortunately, she left this earth and I am still here. And it wasn't, you know, I was expecting that Mark would get these two organs and like be alive and thrilled and happy and elated. And it wasn't so. It was a good year before mm-hmm. he even felt human.
Yeah.
And during that time, I learned a lot about myself. Honestly, I learned that, you know, here I was sitting and praying for someone to die so my husband could live. And mm-hmm. that didn't feel right. You know, I mean, in the end, I knew this is the only way he would live. But why would I pray for someone to die so that my husband could live and my kids could have a dad and I could have a husband? It was so, you know, eerie. It was so bad feeling. So finally, I got to the point where I just said, okay, universe, okay, God, whatever, you know, I call it all different things, but mm-hmm. energy, spirit, divine, do what you need to do. And that was a Sunday. And that Wednesday night, that quickly, as the minute I let it go and said, listen, if Mark dies, I know he'll be in a better place, free of pain. If Mark lives, that would be delightful. But if he lives not a good life where he's living on dialysis and living in a nursing home, that would be the worst. You know, like I tried, you know, like down dog in yoga, where we turn ourselves upside down and get a new view of the room. Yeah. And if we're facing a mirror, we get a new room of our face, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to play that game with myself, like, how can I turn this around that I'm not praying for someone to pass away? And it was that I would A, give it up, and B, that I would see that him passing wasn't really that bad. It was sad, devastating. And that him living on machines and in a home or a hospital for the rest of his life would really be the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
This went on for 8.5 months. And so on the Sunday, I said, okay, it's in your hands. I don't want to try controlling this anymore. And on Wednesday, he got the phone call. Someone, a woman my age, my blood type, and also an organ donor had passed away. And her kidney, one kidney, and her liver are available for him. And it was an 11.5 hour surgery, which should have been 4 to 6. But the first hospital did so much damage internally that it took this female surgeon 11.5 hours to work on him.
God. Okay.
And they stopped midway. They stopped, I think, 4 hours into it when I arrived. So I had to drive from North Carolina to Florida with my dad drove me. And when I arrived, they said, we're not going to give him the organs. His heart's not cooperating. And I said, no. He has a problem with anesthesia. This happened in the first surgery when they removed the kidneys. Keep working. And so I just sat in prayer. My father and my brother fell asleep, and I just prayed for hours for divine intervention. And sure enough, they called back to the room and they said, okay, we're going to continue. And I was like, oh, thank you. So 11.5 hours later, he came out, and, you know, it took a full year for him to recover. It took probably the same time for me to recover.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I felt like I was in post-traumatic stress disorder, mm-hmm. having lived what I call here in America, 911, you know, like when you call the police, yeah. you're like on in the ambulance, you're like in 911 mode. And, I had gained weight. I had given up parts of myself. Like, I love to entertain, but Mark was in such a bad place that I couldn't invite people like yourself into the home, because you would be like, he's mean. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, well, he's not mean. He's toxic because his kidney is so not functioning. You know, I mean, I know you get it, but other people, they wouldn't understand the relationship of those organs and the brain. And then the mouth that is connected to the brain. So long story made short, because that was very long. But Hina, I realize life is precious. It is really a gift.
Yeah.
I always think when I'm having a bad day that I should walk through the ICU in the hospital, the intensive care unit, because it's really awakening as to people are on that verge of being here or passing on, and the loved ones that are around the bed holding hands and crying and, you know, so forth. So spending 39 days in the hospital with him was awakening. I realized that I have a big voice, yeah. and I'm not afraid to use it. I realized that we give away parts of ourselves during times like this, or even when we get married or take on our career or become a parent, that we want to please other people in order to keep the peace.
Mm.
And I realized that I have the insight to see that missing piece. And I have the voice, because of my intuition, to connect with what I call your soul and your desires and your truths and your gifts. That's my intuitive gift. And it came out really more profoundly during that time. I think sometimes challenges, right, it make things appear bigger.
Absolutely. And I think that it's most of the times is in form of challenges. We tend to discover our own true gifts. But I would not say that everybody gets it, because there are people who are suffering, and they just keep on suffering until the life ends. However, there are certain fortunate people who draw the lessons, you know, the right kind of lesson that divine is trying to send across to us through the challenges or the things. So actually, every challenge is so precious, because something is hidden inside of it, which we fail to see.
Yes. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I knew we were going to get along so beautifully. You know, I think when we start reliving these things over and over, like you were talking about, it's time for us, if we want to heal, right? Or if we want to awaken or transcend, or there's so many words you can put in here. Right. I never say that I have the right word. I think your listeners need to pick the word that's right for them. but that we are given these opportunities, these challenging times. Sometimes I call them journeying through hell, you know, because that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
But it shows us parts of ourselves that we don't even know we were there, because I think, especially here in America, and I think it happens around the world, you'll have to tell me if you agree, I feel like we're put in a box, like we're born and we're adorable. And Arnie, I'm forgetting his last name, he's a podcaster. He used a great example. He said, we're brought home from the hospital and we're put in a box. They call it a crib, you know, but they never let us, even though we outgrow the crib, we're still in this box. You know, our parents want us to be a certain way, our grandparents, our school teacher, our friends, our siblings. And at that time, I think we give away parts of ourselves. And in those challenging times, I saw, oh no, I'm an advocate. I'm here to fight for that unlived life or that missing piece that people are like, I'm just not feeling myself, or I'm happy I have everything, but I still feel like there's something more. And that more for me is the connection to spirit, to divine, to living like like everything is okay, like that Sunday night when I finally said, this is bigger than me. I'm never going to be able to control this.
Right.
Although I got him to the right hospital. That was within my control.
Yeah.
I got him to where doctors could care for him properly, but the rest is out of my hands, you know? Yeah. And that's there was lightness in giving that up. I think you can agree.
Surrender.
There was, yes, yes. Oh, you give me goosebumps. Yes.
It's all about surrender. When we stop resisting what's happening around us, life happens at a larger level. And yes. I also believe that as we are not born with a manual in place and we don't know how to live our lives, and we keep on messing up with things, right? And we keep, and society has conditioned us in a certain way.
Yes.
That, okay, this is good, this is bad, this is what you're supposed to be experiencing, this is something, you know, struggles and stuff like that. So this is all part of the conditioning that we all go through on the day-to-day basis. So I think that we are, as you very rightly said, that we get that awakening in such tough moments. And we have, we are so fortunate, you know, to have that power to create our own lives.
Yes.
We are the artist of our own lives.
Yes.
We have been given all the tools, right? And we can do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. I love it. Yes.
For long years, I believed that being money-minded was a bad thing. So I kept on avoiding money. In every job interview, I hesitated to negotiate salary and turned down every opportunity to make money. Even my coaching business functioned as a free service for a long time because the reason I got into coaching was to serve people. Then I started realizing the side effects of my wrong money mindset. Thanks to my coaches and mentors who set me up for money inflow while serving the world. Whatever career you are into, if your money mindset is distorted, you are going to struggle in your career. And the amazing fact is that you would not even realize that you are sabotaging your full potential, because all this happens at the sub and unconscious level. Your money stories are deep-rooted, particularly if you have seen a money-deprived childhood. The solution is to identify your patterns and let them go as fast as you can, because it's costing you your career. That's why the money mindset is a big part of all my coaching programs. Send me a quick mail to connect@authorhina.com to know more about my programs. And also, Gina, about the mind, let's talk about it, because we are logical creatures in modern times. And I understand that it has taken us thousands of years to have this mind, you know, at the level where it's lots of evolution has got into the making of it. But now we are abusing our minds. We are overusing our minds to make our lives even hell. So what is the way out? Why are we doing this?
I love the way you said that. I actually wrote it down, Hina, because that is so perfect. And I'll give you credit. I'll have to use that and say, Hina taught me. But it is true. And I think that for me, what I see is when we're put in those boxes, like we were just talking about, we're asked to give up parts of ourselves. Like I gave up entertaining when Mark was sick. And that was a choice because I knew I wanted to keep him alive as best. That was my life's work at the moment, right? Yeah. That's at least how I saw it. And I think when we disconnect, like, you know, I was born into a family of five. So I have my mother and my father who are still alive, healthy, and married. And then it's myself, my sister, and my brother. And although we're five people with the same last name, you know, and the same three kids with the same parents, we're each different.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky my parents saw that we were each different and didn't make us be alike. But I think sometimes and even it could happen in a school, right? The teacher looks and says, oh, I had your sister in the class. And then they expect the child to perform like the other child. Yeah. And it's like, no, they're an individual. Yeah. They have different gifts. You know what I mean? Sure, we have the same parents, but we have different gifts. We have different personalities. And I like to call it the one size fits all life or the one size fits all paradigm, where we should all look the same way, yes, dress the same way. As women, we should speak the same way, and men should act like this, women like this, children like that. And it doesn't really work. I think it really plays mind tricks on us because we know I believe we're all intuitive. I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. And I love watching young kids because they are super intuitive and they'll say, mommy, I don't like that man or that woman or this kid, I don't feel good. And sometimes we tell the kid, oh no, they're safe. Oh no. And we find out later the kid picked up an energy, right? Yeah. But we're asked to remove. And then our mind is like, okay, so I'm wrong. I thought I should, I don't know, continue down this path for schooling, but mom and dad and the teacher and everybody said, go that way. And so then you're like, the mind is saying, but I thought this and no, do that, you know? And I think we then lose parts of ourselves and disconnect, in my opinion,
yes,
like our intuition, our mind, our level of consciousness with our heart and our knowing. Our soul, you know, our inner knowing. And when that happens, then I feel like we become a little crazy. And I don't mean crazy like you need to be institutionalized, yeah, but I mean we get uneasy, unnerved, possibly sad, suffering like towards depression. You know what I mean? Like we're told we're supposed to be something that we know we're not, but we forgot how to use our voice to be who we are.
Correct.
And so I agree with you 100%. I mean, the mind has evolved so much, but yet we're overusing it. We're overthinking things instead of being, it's right. It sounds easy. Just be who you are. Like, you know, yeah. I say with my brand Exquisitely Aligned, it's when you express your truest self outwardly. And although that sounds so simple, I realize it's not because of the environment we're in.
It's very profound and it has a lot of wisdom in it because we have lost ourselves because we are not aligned with who we are. And we are living a life as a Xerox copy. You know, everybody is just living the same thing and society has taught us. Now it's time to take control because I believe that we are living in such a privileged time where we have achieved everything. So now is the time, like we are over that bread butter thing. Now we can take our power back from the from our own mind or our society and do something that makes our life a masterpiece.
Yes. And I agree with that. And I think as people like yourself have done that, you know, like I'm looking at you, obviously you're listening to us, but Hina, as I look at you, you're glowing, you know, like I see you radiantly and I know it's late at night by you, but you look like the sunshine, you know?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being yourself and thank you for finding that way because it's not always easy. It wasn't easy for me. I don't know if you would say it was easy for you, but when you are like you are and you're able to have a voice and use your voice in the manner that we're using right now, I know that you're influencing a lot of people to do the same. And as we do that, more and more people step up and rise. And you're right. It's time to take back our power. And when we do, we influence the other people to do the same. Yes. And I think that's exactly what you do with your coaching business, with speaking, you know, publicly like you do. And so that I say, thank you. And you know, namaste, because that is so, you standing in your power is so powerful for everyone, for all of us to watch.
And I would like to say the same to you, because the kind of work you do is just incredible. And besides that, I would like to talk about the beautiful concept that you're talking, which is you don't have to reinvent yourself. So please talk a bit about that too.
So that is one that gets me really like unnerved. Like I get upset. I mean, really upset. I was having a conversation with, this happened multiple times, but a little more recently, in the past couple of years, I had a conversation with a beautiful woman who has so many gifts and so much life and so much light in within her. And it was about reinventing herself, that she was at a point in her life she was going to reinvent. So I was trying to be polite at first, and then I was finding myself getting really like, you know, and I had to think to myself, why does that always piss me off? It really gets under my skin when I hear, and I, for me, I always hear it from women, I'm going to reinvent myself. I never heard a man, but I'm married. We have friends who are married, so we go out as couples, but I've never had a man tell me he was going to reinvent himself. No. I don't know if he thinks like that, but it's usually women. So my problem is, I think, and you used the word before, alignment, which is in my brand, right? It's all about aligning, that because we gave up parts of ourselves over the years, right? To fit in with our teenage friends at school, or to be the teacher's pet, let's start younger, or to be grandma's favorite. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm teasing you. And then maybe we start our career, we go to college or whatever, and we start our career and we have to fit into the corporate culture. And so we give up parts of ourselves. I remember like trying to downplay my hair at one point. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. This is who I am. Like, you know, luckily I worked in the fashion industry, so it was okay. But I could imagine if I went into an attorney's office, you know, with the hair that I had back then, they would have been like fired, you know? So, but like, right, we have to dress a certain way or appear a certain way or speak a certain way. And then maybe we get married and we marry into a family that wants us to be, again, different, or, you know, show up differently. Yeah. And I think that's probably why so many women think they have to reinvent themselves. But to me, reinvent sounds like I have to put on a lab coat. And I liked science in school, but I don't want to be doing science at 53 years old. You know, it sounds like I need a lab coat, I need a beaker and some acid and this and that. Like, and it sounds complicated. It sounds like a lot of work. It sounds, like something I don't have time or knowledge how to do. I think instead of reinventing, I would rather people say they're going to realign, realign back to their truth, back to their, I call them your soul level truths, the truths only you would know, because they're that ingrained in you. Your heartfelt desires, the ones that cause our heart to beat a little faster, you know, in a positive way. And then our innate or our natural gifts that we were born with, it's kind of like I always tell my kids, and when I teach little ones here and there over the years with yoga, paddleboard yoga, that you're as unique as your fingerprint. And there are gifts that are within that fingerprint-ish, right, in your DNA that only you can use in a way that's like miraculous. Yeah. I might have some of them, but I can't even the way you can. Instead of reinventing, I think you're already perfect. Just go back to who you were when you were born, but with all your life experiences, with all your knowledge, with all, you know, with your, I like to say I'm finer every year I have a birthday, not older, you know, with all that, that elements of you've lived an amazing life. Yes, sometimes it was difficult. We have ups and downs, but with all that knowledge you've gained, go back to your core essence, your divine essence. I mean, yeah, you can call it a million things. So yeah, reinventing to me is, it makes my muscles, and it makes me cringe and my muscles tighten. Like, no, you cannot reinvent yourself. You're already perfect, you know?
Yes, that's beautiful. That's something that we all need to understand, is that all self-worth issues, we need to unlearn a lot. I think much more than what we need to learn.
Yes, and I agree with you completely. And especially in America, you'll have to tell me if this happens by you also. But I feel like we're asked to collect things and go outside of ourselves to learn more. And the more, and you can see behind me, I have my stack of books that I like. Wow. But, you know, I like to use them and then take only the pieces that are right for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use everything that author said, because normally their journey is very different than mine.
Absolutely.
And I feel like when we look outside of ourselves, we could go down the wrong path even more than if we come back and work with someone like you, who can, as a coach, and I do this similar work than you in a little different way, but we can help you, guide you. I like to say, and I'm not sure how you describe your work, but I like to think of it as yoga. Like when we have somebody on a mat, we bring them to the pose that's right for them on that day.
Yeah.
Not what you can do, not what I can do, because that could hurt them, right? Like we have a different body and we may have been practicing yoga longer than them, or I was born flexible and had less strength, you know? So I feel like when you work with somebody who understands how to help you go inside and how to find those pieces, I call them missing pieces, that we gave up or that we squashed or surrendered just to fit in or to please somebody or keep the peace.
Gina, how can people work with you?
So I have found over the years, being true to myself, that my favorite type of work is one-on-one, because in order to be exquisitely aligned, it's really a lot of soul level work and transformational work. It's deep. Yes. And oftentimes it's something that people don't want others to hear. So in a group setting would be a bit difficult or less comfortable. Let's say that. Not difficult, but less comfortable. And the other thing is, I'm from New York. I still have my New York accent. That's where I was born and stayed till after college and started my career. And I'm very fast paced. So I think that you said in one of your episodes about being on a clear path, and I forgot how you worded it, but that you don't waste time, you know, being right. Because why should we be in the muck of the muck instead of enjoying things? And I was like, oh yeah, she gets it. We are alike. And so because I like to work fast, I feel that when I work one-on-one, it's my fastest path to helping them find their missing pieces, go deep within. I hear the things that they can't hear, and I usually see the things they can't see. And that's where they get their information to go forward. And I like to say, I am not there to be their authority, that they are their own authority. And I'm here just shining a light on certain things, you know, things that want to be expressed. And so I work one-on-one with people, typically like this via Zoom or Skype, whatever works best. My favorite thing is to start at 3 months, because I feel like it's not a one session and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
It takes a little time, because things come up. For instance, as we transcend and transform, sometimes our family doesn't like that. They think that, oh no, you're different now. Yes, but we're different in a good way. We're here to help you also, like, be inspired. And I think sometimes it causes a little bit of stress in relationships. where somebody who's not doing that work will think, she's going to leave me, or she's going to, you know, I don't know. Right. And you're like, no, no, I love you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm just happy. I feel better. I'm at living a different life. So I think over the course of 3 months gives us that time for all different things to happen. Yeah. Some clients do stay on for a year. I like that very much because then I can take them. They might want to change their hair. They might want to start dressing a different way. Maybe they gave up how they really wanted to express themselves in clothing because of their career. So here, like, let's go shopping. Let's figure out what colors near your face make your face glow versus make you look like you need to go back to sleep, you know, or that you have a fever. So all those kind of fun things, and then take them within their home so that their home supports them. So yes, it's one-on-one for 3 months is usually where I start, because I think that it does take 3 months to move forward. And I like to call myself a finisher. I really work with people who've done a lot of work already, and they really are so close to that, what I call unlived life, where like Mark was so close to being able to stay alive and be healthy. That's the person who's my ideal client. They're so close, they know it, but they still feel like there's a veil or a wall between them and that path, you know. It's such a little tweak, but it really makes a world of a difference. Like we were talking about mindset earlier.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking.
That's perfect. And I totally agree that it takes a lot of time to get a proper transformation in a proper way, which is long lasting.
Yes.
And yes, you are such an amazing person. And I'm so sure that you have all those natural gifts to transform the lives, you know, change the stories for the people. So I'm going to include your contact information in the show notes section. And quickly, if you could just tell our audience what's the best way to contact you.
So I think the easiest way is email me, Gina, G-I-N-A, at exquisitelyaligned.com. That's E-X-Q-U-I. S-I-T-E-L-Y, aligned is A-L-I-G-N-E-D.com. And then you can also go to the website, which is exquisitelyaligned.com. And there you can find a form that you can answer a few questions and get right on my calendar.
Beautiful. It was such a wonderful conversation, Gina, that I am going to, I'm just going to remember it forever. I'm sure about that.
And I agree with you. Likewise, I feel the same way. You are such a delightful person to be with, and I wish you were around the corner.
Thank you very much, Gina, and all the best for all your endeavors in the future.
Thank you.
So are you ready to give up that small inner voice that tells you to reinvent yourself and get exquisitely aligned with yourself? Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.